one evening a week, we used to have what was called as bread and scrape for a meal. But also, the moment I could, I was able to get paper rounds. So I actually did a morning paper round, an evening paper round, and a Sunday paper round. So that meant I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, did a paper round, then went back home, had a bit of breakfast, got dressed, and went to school. Came home, did the same. There is no work ethic that would appear that anybody has been, you know, shown now. And that is a concern.
Okay, Richard, thank you. This email comes from Betsy Barker. I was utterly astounded hearing Leslie talking about cuts to welfare in Wisconsin as if it was an admirable thing. Anyone who knows about America would be aware that the last thing elderly folk, ill folk, children in poverty, minority groups, or really anyone at all, are cuts to social benefits. I have a nephew whose wife suffers from an acute wasting disease with two autistic children, one very severe indeed. He lost his job because of having to look after her, and the company who fired him found a legal way to deny him his benefits. They live on the very edge of disaster and chaos all the time, as do millions of other unfortunate Americans. Social benefits must be universally available, and those who try to cheat the system be dealt with in sensible ways. Surely this is not beyond the wit of our government, or any other government for that matter. And finally on this, this is Martin from Huddersfield. How on earth does the welfare state hold people back? If jobs paid enough, people would take them. The country's in a mess because of, quotes, educated bankers and politicians, not because of the poor. That's from Martin. Thank you for all your calls and all your emails. That's the last any answers of this year. We'll be back with any questions in the new year, as with any answers. Just time to say, I hope on behalf of everyone who works on this programme that you have a very good Christmas, whether you are rich or poor or somewhere in between. Good afternoon.
Any Answers was presented by Jonathan Dimbleby and produced by Rachel Simpson. Just starting over on Radio 4 Extra, Wilfred Bramble and Harry H. Corbett star in Steptoe & Son. Well, Radio 4 and Radio 3 are joining forces this weekend to bring you two linked plays performed by the same company of actors. The Saturday play is Timberlake Wurtenbaker's Our Country's Good. The story tells of the convicts and Marines sent to Australia in 1787 as part of the first penal colony and their attempts to stage a production of George Farquhar's The Recruiting Officer, which you can hear on Radio 3 tomorrow evening. Paul Higgins, Kate Fleetwood and Nicholas Leprevost star in Our Country's Good.
Giant canoe drifts onto the sea. Clouds billowing from upright oars. This is a dream which has lost its way. Best to leave it alone.
49. 50.
Our Country's Good by Timberlake Wurtenbaker.
Was it necessary to cross 15,000 miles of ocean to erect another Tyburn?
I should think it would make the convicts feel at home.
This land is under English law. The court found them guilty and sentenced them accordingly. There, a bald-eyed Corella.
But hanging?
Only the three who were found guilty of stealing from the colony's stores. And that, over there on the eucalyptus, is a flock of Cacatua gallurita, the south-crested cockatoo. You have been made governor-in-chief of a paradise of birds, Arthur.
And I hope not of a human hell, Davy. Don't shoot yet, Watkin. Let's observe them. Could we not be more humane?
Justice and humaneness have never gone hand in hand. The law is not a sentimental comedy.
I am not suggesting they go without punishment. It is the spectacle of hanging I object to. The convicts will feel nothing has changed and will go back to their old ways.
The convicts never left their old ways, Governor, nor do they intend to.
3 months is not long enough to decide that. You're speaking too loud, Watkin.
I commend your endeavour, but I suspect your edifice will collapse without the mortar of fear.
Have these men lost all fear of being flogged?
John Arscott has already been sentenced to 150 lashes for assault.
The shoulder blades are exposed at about 100 lashes. And I would say that somewhere between 250 and 500 lashes, you are probably condemning a man to death anyway.
With the disadvantage that the death is slow, unobserved, and cannot serve as a sharp example.
Harry? I've got a convict's laugh at hanging, sir. They watch him all the time.
It's the favourite form of entertainment, I should say.
Perhaps because they've never been offered anything else.
Perhaps we should build an opera house for the convicts.
We learned to love such things because they were offered to us when we were children or young men. Surely, no one is born naturally cultured. I'll have the gun now.
There is much excitement in the colony about the hangings. It's their theatre, Governor. You cannot change that.
I would prefer them to see real plays. Fine language. Sentiment.
We will need a hangman.
Harry, you will have to organise the hangings. And eventually find someone who agrees to fill that hideous office.
Shot,
sir. There was also Dorothy Hanland, 82, who stole a biscuit from Robert Sideway.
Surely. We don't have to hang an 82-year-old woman.
That will be unnecessary. She hanged herself this morning.
Dreamt, my beloved Alicia, that I was walking with you and that you was in your riding habit. On Sunday, as usual, kissed your dear beloved image 1,000 times. If I'm not made first, Lieutenant, soon. Harry!
I saw the light in your tent.
I was writing my journal. Is there any trouble?
No. I just came. A talk, you know? If I wrote a journal about my life, it'd fill volumes. Volumes. My travels with the captain. Well, His Excellency now, no less. Governor-in-chief. I still call him plain Captain Philip. He likes it from me. Now, sometimes I look at the convicts and I think, one of those could be you, Harry Brewer, if you hadn't joined the Navy when you did. The officers may look down on me now, but what if they found out that I used to be an embezzler?
Harry, you should keep these things to yourself.
You're right. Ralph? I saw Andy Baker last night.
You hanged him 1 month ago, Harry.
He had a rope, Ralph. He's come back.
It was a dream. Sometimes I think my dreams are real, but they're not.
We used to hear you on the ship, Ralph, calling for your Betsy Alicia.
Don't speak her name on this iniquitous shore.
Ducklin's gone silent on me again. I know it's because of Andy Baker. I saw him. As well as I see you. Duckling wants me, he said. Even if you've hanged me. And I went for him, but he was gone. But he's going to come back. I know it. I didn't want to hang him, Ralph. I didn't.
He did steal that food from the stores. I voted for the rest of the court those men should be hanged. I didn't know His Excellency would be against it.
Duckling says she never feels anything. How do I know she didn't feel something when she was with him? She thinks I hanged him to get rid of him, but I didn't, Ralph. Do you know I saved her life? She was sentenced to be hanged at Newgate for stealing 2 candlesticks, but I got her name put on a transport list. But when I remind her of that, she says she wouldn't have cared. 18 years old and she didn't care if she was turned off. These women are sold before they're 10. The captain says we should treat them with kindness.
How can you treat such women with kindness? Why does he think that?
Not all the officers find him disgusting, Ralph. Haven't you ever been tempted?
Never. His Excellency never seems to notice me. He finds time for Davy Collins, Lieutenant Dawes.
Oh, that's because Captain Collins is going to write about the customs of the Indians here. And Lieutenant Dawes is recording the stars.
Well, I could write about the Indians.
He did suggest to Captain Tench that we do something to educate the convicts. Put on a play or something, but Captain Tench just laughed. He doesn't like Captain Tench.
A play? Who would act in a play?
Well, the convicts, of course.
I read the tragedy of Lady Jane Grey on the ship. such a moving and uplifting play. Oh, but how could a whore play Lady Jane?
Some of those women are good women, Ralph. I believe my duckling is good.
Is His Excellency serious about putting on a play?
When a captain decides something, Ralph.
If I went to him... No, it would be better if you did, Harry. You could tell His Excellency how much I like the theatre.
I didn't know that, Ralph. I'll tell him.
Duckling could be in it if you wanted.
I wouldn't want her to be looked at by all the men.
If His Excellency doesn't like Lady Jane, we could find something else. A comedy, perhaps.
I'll speak to him, Ralph. You don't think I killed him, then?
Who?
Handy Baker.
No, Harry. You did not kill Handy Baker.
Oh, thank you, Ralph.
Harry, you won't forget to talk to His Excellency about the play.
Poor Owen, but the decree is just.
Mr. Clark! I am calling you Mr. Clark, as one calls Mr. Garrick, Mr. Garrick. We have not had the pleasure of meeting before.
I've seen you on the ship.
Different circumstances, Mr. Clark, best forgotten. I was once a gentleman. My fortune has turned, the wheel. You are doing a play, I hear. Drury Lane.
You say you're a gentleman, sideways.
Top of my profession, Mr. Clark. Pickpocket, born and bred in Bermondsey. Do you know London, sir? Don't you miss it? London Bridge at dawn. Hand on cold iron for good luck in St. Paul's Churchyard. I do love a good church. And begin work in Bond Street. There. I've spotted her. Rich, plump, not of the best class. Stands in front of the shop, plucking up courage. I pluck her. Time for coffee until 5 o'clock, and the pinnacle, the glory of the day, Drury Lane. The coaches, the actors scuttling, the gentlemen watching, the ladies tittering. Oh, the perfumes, the clothes, the handkerchiefs. Oh. Here, Mr. Clark, your handkerchief. You see the skill. Oh, Mr. Clark, I beg you, I entreat you to let me perform on your stage, to let me feel once again the thrill of a play about to begin. Ah, I see ladies approaching, our future Woffingtons, Siddons. Ladies, I shall await your word of command, Mr. Clark. I shall be in the wings.
You asked to see Mary Brennan, Lieutenant. Here she is.
Yes, the governor has asked me to put on a play.
Oh.
You know what a play is?
I've seen lots of plays, Lieutenant, so has Mary.
Have you, Brennan?
Yes.
Can you remember which plays you've seen?
No. Mary wants to be in your play, Lieutenant, and so do I.
Well, do you think you have a talent for acting, Brennan?
Oh, of course she does, and so do I. Now, I want to play Mary's friend. In all those plays, there's always a friend. That's because a girl has to talk to someone, and she talks to her friend, so I'll be Mary's friend.
Sylvia, that's the part I want to try Brennan for, doesn't have a friend. She has a cousin, but they don't like each other.
Oh, well, Mary doesn't always like me.
The Reverend Johnson told me you can read and write, Brennan.
She went to school until she was 10. She used to read to us on the ship. We loved it. It puts us to sleep.
Well, shall we try reading some of the play? I meant read it aloud, as you did on the ship. I'll help you. I'll read Justice Balance. That's your father. So start here, Brennan.
Whilst there is life, there is hope, sir.
Oh, I like that, Lieutenant. This is a good play, I can tell.
Shh! She hasn't finished. Start again, Brennan. That's good.
Whilst there is life, there is hope, sir. Perhaps my brother may recover.
Well, that's excellent, Brennan. Very fluent. You could read a little louder. Now I'll read. We have but little reason to expect it. Poor Owen. But the decree is just. I was pleased with the death of my father because he left me an estate, and now I'm punished with the loss of an heir to inherit mine. This is a comedy. They don't really mean it. It's to make people laugh.
The death of your brother makes you sole heiress to my estate, which you know is about £1,200
a year. £1,200! Oh, it must be a comedy.
My desire of being punctual in my obedience requires that you would be plain in your commands, sir.
Well said, Mary, well said.
Well, I think that's enough. You read very well, Brenham. Would you also be able to copy the play? We have only two copies.
Of course you will. Now, where do I come in, Lieutenant, the cousin?
Can you read, Bryant?
Well, not those marks in the books, Lieutenant, but I can read other things. I read dreams very well, Lieutenant, very well.
Well, I don't think you're right for Melinda. I'm thinking of someone else, and if you can't
read... Well, Mary will read me the lines, Lieutenant.
There's Rose.
Rose! Oh, I like the name. I'll be Rose. Who is she?
She's a country girl.
I grew up in Devon, Lieutenant. I'm perfect for Rose.
I would like to hear
you. I don't know my lines yet, Lieutenant. When I know my lines, you can hear me do them. Come on, Mary.
No, I didn't say you could. I'm not certain you're the right... Brian, I'm not certain I want you in the play.
Yes, you do, Lieutenant. Mary will read me the lines, and I, Lieutenant, will read you your dreams.
Oh, here's your cousin. Melinda, Sylvia's cousin.
You can't have her in the play, Lieutenant.
Why not?
You don't have to be able to read the future to know that Liz Morden is going to be hanged.
I understand you want me to be in your play, Lieutenant. Is that it? I'll look at it and let you know.
A play! A frippery, frittering play!
Here!
To celebrate the King's birthday on June the 4th.
If a frigating ship doesn't appear soon, we'll all be struck with a stricturing starvation. Oh. And you, a play!
Not putting on the play won't bring us a supply ship, Robbie.
And you want those contumelious convicts to act in this play? Yeah. The convicts!
Well, discipline's bad, very bad.
The play has several parts for women. We have no other women here.
Your wife accepted, Reverend.
Well, my wife abhors anything of that nature. After all, actresses are not famed for their morals.
Neither are women convicts.
Filthy, thieving, lying whores. And now we have to watch them flout their flitty wares on the stage.
No one will be forced to watch the play.
This is a convict colony. The prisoners are here to be punished, and we're here to make sure they get punished.
We are indeed here to supervise the convicts who are already being punished by their long exile. Surely they can also be reformed.
We are talking about criminals, often hardened criminals. They have a habit of vice and crime.
Most of the convict women here have committed small crimes, a tiny theft here.
Crime is a crime. You commit a crime or you don't. If you commit a crime, you are a criminal. Surely that is logical.
Yes.
I mean, it's like the savages here. A savage is a savage because he behaves in a savage manner. To expect anything else is foolish. I mean, they can't even build a proper canoe.
They can be educated.
Actually, they seem happy enough as they are. They do not want to build canoes or houses, nor do they suffer from greed and ambition.
Which can't be said of our convicts.
Yeah.
But really, I don't see what this has to do with the play. It is at most a passable diversion, an entertainment to while away the hours of the idle.
A convict's bone idle.
But it could change the nature of our little society.
Oh, my dear Ralph, a bunch of convicts making fools of themselves, mouthing words written no doubt by some London ass, will hardly change our society.
George Farquhar was not an ass. He was an officer. The play is called The Recruiting Officer.
What is the plot, Ralph?
It's about this recruiting officer and his friend, and they're in love with these two young ladies from Shrewsbury, and after some difficulties, they marry them.
Oh, it sanctions holy matrimony, then?
Yes, it does.
Well, that wouldn't do the convicts any harm. I'm having such trouble getting them to marry instead of this sordid cohabitation they're so used to.
Marriage, please. Why not a ball for the convicts?
Some of these men will have finished their sentence in a few years. They will become members of society again and help create a new society in this colony. Mm. Should we not encourage them now to think in a free and responsible manner?
I don't see how a comedy about two lovers will do that, Arthur.
The theatre is an expression of civilization. The convicts will be speaking a refined, literate language and expressing sentiments of a delicacy they're not used to. It will remind them that there is more to life than crime, punishment. And we... this colony of a few hundred will be watching this together for a few hours. We will no longer be despised prisoners and hated jailers. We will laugh. We may be moved. We may even think a little. Can you suggest something else that would provide such an evening, Joaquin?
I would simply say that if you want to build a civilization, there are more important things than a play. If you want to teach the convicts something, teach them to farm, to build houses. Teach them thrift so they don't eat a week's rations in one night. But above all, teach them how to work, not how to sit around laughing at a comedy.
The Greeks believed that it was a citizen's duty to watch a play. It was a kind of work in that it required attention, judgment, patience, all social virtues.
And the Greeks were conquered by the more practical Romans, Arthur.
Indeed, the Romans built their bridges, but they also spent many centuries wishing they were Greeks. And they, after all, were conquered by barbarians, all by their own corrupt and small spirits.
Are you saying Rome would not have fallen if the theatre had been better?
Nothing of that.
Well, why not?
In my own small way, in just a few hours, I have seen something change. I asked some of the convict women to read me some lines. These women who behave often no better than animals. And it seemed to me as one or two, I'm not saying all of them, not at all, but one or two, saying those well-balanced lines of Mr. Farquhar, they seemed to acquire a dignity. They seemed to lose some of their corruption. There was one, Mary Brenham, she read so well. Perhaps this play will keep her from selling herself to the first Marine who offers her bread. I speak about her, but in a small way, this could affect all the convicts and even ourselves. We could forget our worries about the supplies, the hangings and the floggings and think of ourselves at the theatre, in London, with our wives and children. That is, we could...
Transcend.
Transcend the brutality. Remember our better nature and remember...
England.
Whether the wee lieutenant learned to speak.
You are making claims that cannot be substantiated, Ralph. It's 2 hours, possibly of amusement, possibly of boredom, and we will lose the labour of the convicts during the time they are learning the play. It's a waste, an unnecessary waste.
I'm still concerned about the content.
Well, the content of a play is irrelevant.
Even if it teaches insubordination, disobedience, revolution. Yes.
Since we have agreed it can do no harm, since it might possibly do some good, since the only person violently opposed to it is Major Ross, for reasons he has not made quite clear, I suggest we allow Ralph to rehearse his play. Does anyone disagree?
We have taken
your disagreement into account, Robbie.
I
thank you, Captain Campbell. Your Excellency, I believe, is for the play, and I myself am convinced it will prove a most interesting experiment. So let us conclude with our good wishes to Ralph for a successful production.
I will not accept this. I know this play. Order will become disorder. The theatre leads to threatening theory, and you, Governor, you have His Majesty's commission to build castles, cities, raise armies, administer a military colony. Not fandangle about with a loody play. I'm going to write to the Admiralty about this.
You're out of turn, Robbie!
Confusion!
Major Ross will never forgive you, Ralph.
I have summed up the feelings of the assembled company, Arthur, but the last word must be yours.
The last word will be the play, gentlemen.
Oh, it's almost beginning to look like a town. Look, duckling. There's the captain's house. I can see him in his garden. Hey! Sydney. You could have found a better name. Mogsbury. Lagtown. Duckling Cove, eh? And the captain said it had to be named after the Home Secretary. Well, I thought this would remind you of rowing on the Thames. Look how blue the water is. Duckling. Say something. Duckling.
If I was rowing on the Thames, I'd be free.
This isn't Newgate, Duckling.
I wish it was.
Duckling.
At least the jailer of Newgate left you alone and you could talk to people.
Well, I'll let you talk to the women.
Esther Abrams, Mary Brenham.
They're good women.
Oh, I don't have anything to say to those women, Harry. My friends are in the women's camp.
Is it the women you're after in the women's camp? It's the Marines who come looking for buttock. I know you. Who do you have you are now? Who? Well, a soldier? Another Marine? A corporal? Who, Ducklin? Who? You found someone already, haven't you? Where'd you go? On the beach? In my tent, like with Andy Baker, eh? Where? Under the trees?
You know I hate trees. Don't be so filthy.
Filthy? You're filthy, you filthy whore! I'm sorry, Ducklin, please. Why can't you just be with me? Don't be angry. I'll do anything for you. You know that. What do you want, Ducklin?
I don't want to be watched all the time. I wake up in the middle of the night and you're watching me. What do you think I'm going to be doing in my sleep, Harry? Watching. Just stop watching me.
You want to leave me, all right? Or go and live in the woman's cup. Sell yourselves to a convict for a biscuit. Leave if you want to. You're filthy. Filthy. Open your legs to the first Marine.
Why are you so angry with your Ducklin, Harry? Didn't you like it when I opened my legs wide to you? Cross them over you. The way you like it. What will you do when your little Ducklin isn't there anymore to touch you with her soft fingertips, Harry? Where you like it. Your Ducklin don't want to leave you, Harry.
Ducklin.
I need freedom sometimes, Harry.
You have to earn freedom with good behaviour.
Why didn't you let them hang me and take my corpse with you, Harry? You're going to get that in chains. I wish I was dead. At least when you're dead, you're free.
You know Lieutenant Clark's play? Dabby Bryant is in it. And there's Morden. Don't you want to be in it? You'd rehearse in the evenings with Lieutenant Clark.
Oh, and he can watch over me instead of you.
I'm trying to make you happy, Ducklin. If you don't want
to... I'll be in the play. How's Lieutenant Clark going to manage Liz Morden?
Well, the captain wanted her to be in it.
On the ship, we used to see who could make Lieutenant Clark blush first. Didn't take long.
Ducklin, you ain't trying to think with Lieutenant Clark, will you?
With that Molly? Nah.
You're talking to me again. Will you kiss your Harry? I'll come and watch the rehearsals.
If the latitude of Sydney is 43 degrees, 39 minutes south and the North Cape.
Are you remembering your lines, Debbie?
Well, what lines? Oh, no. I was remembering Devon. I was on my way back to Bigbury Bay. I want to go back. I want to see a wall of stone. I want to hear the Atlantic breaking into the estuary.
Debbie, what about your lines?
Oh, I'm not spending the rest of my life in this flat, brittle, burnt-out country. Oh, give me some English rain.
It rains here.
It's not the same. I could recognise English rain anywhere. And Devon rain, Mary. Oh, Devon rain is the softest in England. As soft as your breasts. As soft as Lieutenant Clark's dimpled cheeks.
Debbie, don't.
Oh, you're wasting your time, girl. He's ripe for the plucking. You can always tell with men they begin to walk sideways. And if you don't sort...
Don't start. I listened to you once before.
Well, what would you have done without that lanky sailor drooling over you?
I would have been less of a whore.
If God didn't want women to be whores, he shouldn't have created men who pay for their bodies. While you were with your little sailor, there were women in that stinking pit of a hold who had three men on them at once. Men with the pox, men with the flux, men biting like dogs.
But if you don't agree to it, then you're not a whore. You're a martyr.
You have to be a virgin to be a martyr, Mary, and you didn't come on that ship a virgin. A-H, I love thee to the heart. Tattooed way up there.
That was different. That was love.
Well, let's learn the lines.
How can I play Sylvia? She's brave and strong. She couldn't have done what I've done.
Well,
She didn't spend 8 months on a convict ship. Anyway, you can pretend you're her.
No. I have to be her.
Why?
Because that's acting.
Oh, no way I'm being Rose. She's an idiot.
It's not such a big part. It doesn't matter so much.
You didn't tell me that before.
I hadn't read it carefully. Come on. Let's do the scene between Sylvia and Rose. Good morrow, my dear. How do you this morning? Now you say, just as I was last night, neither better nor worse for you.
You can't do the play without me. I'm in it. Where's the lieutenant?
Mary's teaching me some lines.
Why aren't you teaching me the lines?
You can read. You can read your own lines.
I don't want to learn them on my own!
Get off!
I'm waiting.
What are you waiting for, Liz Morden? A blind man to buy your wares?
We'll do the first scene between Melinda and Sylvia. All right.
Yeah. First scene.
You start. Welcome to town, Cousin Sylvia.
Welcome to town, Cousin Sylvia.
Go on. I envied you.
I envied you. You read it first.
Why?
Well, I want to hear how you do it.
Why?
Because then I can do it different.
I envied you your retreat in the country for Shrewsbury, methinks, and all your heads of shires.
Why don't you read it? You can't read.
What?
I'll teach you the lines.
What? Oh, you were a friend now, is that it? Mary the holy innocent and thieving bitch.
Morning, ladies. Why aren't you at work instead of at each other's throats?
I wouldn't talk of throats if I was you, Mr. Hangman Ketch Freeman.
Crap merchant.
Crapping coal switcher.
Roper.
I was only asking what you were doing. You know, you're friendly like.
Stitch your ropes, my little gawler. Don't bother the actresses.
Actresses? Are you doing a play?
It's better than dancing the Paddington Frisk in your arms, noser.
Well, nose on you, Liz, if you're not careful.
Yeah, I'd take a leap in the dark sooner than turn off my own kind. Now, take your whirligigs out of our sight. We've got lines to learn.
Yeah. Don't hang too many people, Ketch. We need an audience.
We'll start again. Welcome to town, Cousin Sylvia. It says you salute.
Welcome to town, Cousin Sylvia.
My darling tender wife, I'm reading Proverbs, waiting till midnight that I may kiss your picture as usual. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Good God, what a scene of whoredom is going on in the women's camp. This being Sunday, took your picture out of its prison and kissed it. God bless you, my sweet woman.
Forgive me, sir. Please forgive me. I didn't want to disturb your prayers. I say 50 Hail Marys myself every night, and 200 on the days when... I'll wait outside, sir.
What do you want, Ketch Freeman?
I'll wait quietly, sir. Don't mind me.
Get back to the camp immediately. I'll see you in the morning, Ketch.
Don't call me that, sir. I beg you, don't call me by that name. That's what I came to see you about, sir.
I was about to go to sleep.
Sir, I'll be brief.
Well, get on with it.
When I say my prayers, I have a terrible doubt. How can I be sure God is forgiving me? That's why I can't die. Not until I'm sure. Are you sure?
I'm not a convict. I don't sin.
No, to be sure. Forgive me, sir. It's God's judgment I'm frightened of. And the women's. They're so hard. Why is that?
Ketch.
James, sir. James Daniel Patrick. After my three uncles. Good men they were too. Didn't go to London. If only we hadn't left, then I wouldn't have been there. Then nothing would have happened. I wouldn't have become a coal heaver on Shadwell Dock and been there on the 23rd of May, 1785, when we refused to unload because they were paying us so badly, sir. I wasn't even near the sailor who got killed. He shouldn't have done the unloading. That was wrong of the sailors, but I didn't kill him.
Maybe one blow. Not to look stupid, you know, just to show I was with the lads, even if I wasn't. But I didn't kill him. And they caught five at random, sir. And I was among the five. And they found the cudgel, but I just had that to look good, that's all. And what they said to me later, you can hang or you can give the names. What was I to do? What would you have done, sir?
I wouldn't have been in that situation, Freeman.
No, to be sure. Forgive me, sir. I only told on the ones I saw. I didn't tell anything that wasn't true. Oh, death is a horrible thing. That poor sailor.
Freeman, I'm going to go to bed now.
And when it happened again here, and I had hopes of making a good life here. That theft, I didn't do it. I was just there, keeping a lookout, just to help some friends, you know? But when they say to you, hang or be hanged, what do you do? Someone has to do it. I tried to do it well. God had mercy on the whore, the thief, the lame. Surely he'll forgive the hang. It's the women. They're without mercy. Not like you and me, sir. Men. What I wanted to say, sir, is that I heard them talking about the play. Some players came into our village once. They were loved like the angels, Lieutenant. Like the angels. And the way the women watched them, the light of spring dawn in their eyes. Lieutenant, I want to be an actor.
I would rather counsel than command. I don't propose this with the authority of a parent, but as the advice of your friend.
Friend? That's a good word, Mary. Short, but full of promise.
That you would take the coach this moment and go into the country.
Country can mean opposite things. It renews you with trees and grass. You go rest in the country. Or it crushes you with power. You die for your country doesn't want you. You're thrown out of your country. I like words. My father cleared the houses of the dead to sell the old clothes to the poor houses by the Thames. He found the dictionary, Johnson's dictionary. It was as big as a Bible. It went from A to L. I started with the A's. Abecedarian, someone who teaches the alphabet or rudiments of literature. Abject, a man without hope.
What does indulgent mean, Wisehammer?
How's it used?
You have been so careful, so indulgent to me.
It means ready to overlook faults. You have to be careful with words that begin with in. It can turn everything upside down. Injustice. Most of that word's taken up with justice, but the in twists it inside out and makes it the ugliest word in the English language.
Guilty is an uglier word.
Innocent ought to be a beautiful word, but it isn't. It's full of sorrow, anguish.
You have been so careful. So indulgent to me.
You have a beautiful hand.
There's so much to copy, so many words.
I can write.
Why don't you tell Lieutenant Clark? He's doing it.
No, I'm
afraid?
Diffident.
I'll tell him. Well, I won't. My friend Dubby will. She's
bold. Shy isn't a bad word. It's soft.
But shame is a hard one.
Words with two L's are the worst. Lonely, loveless.
Love is a good word.
That's because it only has one L. I like words with one L. Luck, Latitudinarian. Laughter.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, we're ladies now.
It is with pleasure that I welcome you.
Our pleasure, Mr. Clark. Our pleasure.
We have many days of hard work ahead of us.
Work? I'm not working. I thought we was acting.
Now, let me introduce the company. The ladies first. Mary Brenham, who's to play Sylvia. Liz Morden, who is to play Melinda. Duckling Smith, who is to play Lucy, Melinda's maid.
I'm not playing Liz Morden's maid.
Why not?
I live with an officer. He wouldn't like it.
Just because she lives chained up in that old tosspot's garden.
Don't you dare talk of my
You're not playing Morden's maid, Smith. You're playing Melinda's. And Dabby Bryant, hello, who is to play Rose, a country girl.
From Devon.
Screw bitch.
Salt jaws.
That's the ladies. Now, Captain Plume will be played by Henry Cable, who seems to be late. Sergeant Kite is to be played by John Arscott, who did send a message to say that he would be kept at work an extra hour.
An hour? You won't see him in an hour.
Mr. Worthy will be played by Mr. Sideway.
I'm here.
Justice Balance by James Freeman.
No way I'm doing a play with Hangman. The words would stick him off throat.
Don't have any scenes with him, Smith. Now, if I could finish the introductions. Captain Brazen is to be played by John Wisehammer.
Hello.
The small parts are still to be cast. Now, we can't do the first scene until John Arscott appears.
There won't be a first scene.
Bryant, will you be quiet, please? The second scene. Now, I'll re-plume myself. So, Act 1, Scene 2, Captain Plume and Mr. Worthy.
That's me. I'm at your command.
The rest of you can watch and wait for your scenes. Perhaps we should begin by reading it.
Oh, no need, Mr. Clark. I know it.
Ah, but I'm afraid I shall have to read Captain Plume.
Well, I know that part too. Would you like me to do both?
I think it's better if I do it. Oh. Now, I'll read the line before Worthy's entrance. None at present. 'Tis indeed the picture of Worthy, but the life's departed. Sideway, what are you doing down there?
Well, I'm being melancholy. I saw Mr. Garrick being melancholy once. That is what he did. Hamlet, it was.
Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt. Oh, that this too solid flesh would melt. Oh, that this too
This solid is a comedy. It is perhaps a little lighter. Try simply to stand normally and look melancholy. Look, I'll say the line again. The audience won't hear Captain Plume's lines if your sobs are so loud, Sideway.
I'm still establishing my melancholy.
A comedy needs to move quite fast. In fact, I think we'll cut that line and the two verses that follow. And we'll go straight to Worthy greeting Plume.
Plume! My dear captain, welcome. Safe and sound returned.
Sideway, it's a very good attempt. It's very theatrical, but you could try to be a little more natural.
Natural? On the stage? But, Mr. Clark...
Well, people must believe you.
Of course. I thought I was being Garrick, but never mind. Natural? Quite. You're the director, Mr. Clark.
Perhaps you could look at me while you're saying the lines.
Ah, but the audience won't see my face.
The lines are said to Captain Plume. Let's move on.
Well,
actually, I would like to rehearse the ladies now. Freeman, would you go and see what's happened to Arscott? Sideway, we'll come back to this scene another time, but that was very good, very good. But very good. Now, we will rehearse the first scene between Melinda and Sylvia. Morden and Brenham, if you would come and stand here.
Welcome to town, Cousin Sylvia. I envied you your retreat in your country for Shrewsbury, methinks, and all your heads of Shires are most irregular places to live in.
Morden.
Yeah, wait, I haven't finished yet. Here we have smoke, noise, scandal, affectation, pretension, in short, everything to give to spleen, nothing to divert it. And then the air is intolerable.
Morden, you know the lines very well.
Oh, thank you, Lieutenant Clark.
But you might want to try and act them. Well, let's look at the scene. Oh, you're a rich lady. You're at home. Now, a rich lady would stand in a certain way. Try to stand like a rich lady. Try to look at Sylvia with a certain assurance.
Assurance?
Confidence.
Well, like this. Well, you've seen rich ladies, haven't you?
I robbed a few.
Well, how did they behave?
They screamed.
I mean, before you
robbed them?
I don't know. I was watching their purses.
Have you ever seen a lady in her own house?
Well, I used to climb into big houses when I was a girl and just stand there looking. I didn't take anything. I just stood like this.
But if it was your own house, you would think it was normal to live like that.
It's not normal. It's not normal when others have nothing.
But when acting, you have to imagine things. You have to imagine you're someone different. So now think of a rich lady and imagine you're her. Brenham, it's your turn to speak.
Oh, madam, I've heard the town commended for air.
But you don't consider Sylvia how long I have lived in.
I believe you would look at her.
She didn't look at me.
Didn't she? She will now.
For I can assure you that to a lady the least nice in her constitution, no air can be good above half a year. Change of air I take to be the most agreeable of any variety in life.
But prithee, my dear Melinda, don't put on such an air to me.
Excellent, Brenham. You could be a little more sharp on the don't.
Don't. Don't. Your education and mine were just the same.
Our education, cousin, was the same, but our temperaments have nothing alike.
That's a little better, Morden, but you needn't be quite so angry with her. Now, go on, Brenham.
No, I haven't finished my speech!
Oh, you're right, Morden. Please excuse me.
No, there's no need for that, Lieutenant. I don't have to.
No, please do.
You have the constitution of a horse!
Much better, Morden, but you must always remember you're a lady. What can we do to help you? Lucy.
Oh, that's you, Ducklin.
You see that little piece of wood over there? Take it to Melinda. That will be your fan.
I'm not fetching nothing for Leith.
She's not Morden. She's Melinda, your mistress. You're her servant, Lucy. In fact, you should be in this scene. Now, take her that fan.
Here.
Thank you, Lucy. I do much appreciate your effort.
No, you would nod your head.
Don't add any words to the play.
Brenham, it's your speech.
So far as to be troubled with neither spleen, colic, nor vapours. I need no salt for my stomach, no.
Major Ross, Captain Campbell, I'm rehearsing.
Rehearsing? Rehearsing?
Yeah, rehearsing.
Lieutenant Clark is rehearsing. Lieutenant Clark asked us to give the prisoners 2 hours so he could rehearse. But what has he done with them? What?
Other things, eh?
Where are the prisoners Cable and Arscott, Lieutenant?
They seem to be late.
While you were rehearsing, Arscott and Cable slipped into the woods with 3 others. So 5 men have now run away. And it's all because of your damned play and your so-called thespists. And not only have your thespists run away, they've stolen food from the stores for their renegade escapade. That's what your play has done.
Well, I don't see what the play...
The devil, Lieutenant. Always comes through the mind. Here. Worms its way. Idleness and words.
Major Ross, I can't agree...
Listen to me, my lad. You're a second lieutenant. And you don't agree or disagree with Major Ross.
No discipline, yeah.
John Weishammer.
I've nothing to do with it.
You're Jewish, aren't you? You're guilty. Cable was last seen near Weishammer's hut. Liz Morden. She was observed next to the colony's stores late last night in the company of Cable, who was supposed to be repairing the door. Liz Morden, you will be tried for stealing from the stores. You know the punishment? Death by hanging. And now, you may continue to rehearse, Lieutenant.
Recruiting officer. Good title. A play. Play.
Luck? I don't know the word. Shifts its bob when I comes near. My own father. Lady's walking down a street. He takes her wiper. She screams. He shoulder claps. Says, not me, sir. It's Lizzie. Look, she took it. I'm stripped. Beaten in the street. Everyone watching. That night I go to my older brother. He don't want me. So I begins to sell my mother her saints. I thinks,
I'm in luck when I meet this swell cove. He's a Bob Cole, sports a different wiper every day of the week. He says to me, it's not enough to sell your mossy face, Liz. He shows me how to spice the swells. So, swell, as me up the wall, flash the pocket watch, I lifts it. But one time, I stir my stumps too slow, the swell squeaks beef, the snooze he hears, I'm nibbed. It's up the ladder to rest, I thinks, when I goes up before the fortune teller, but no, the judge is a Bob Cole. I nap the king's pardon, it's 7 years across the herring pond. New life. You could knob it here, Lizzie, I thinks. Bob Cole, gov, this niffy naffy play, not too much work, good crew, rufflers, cable. Oscar. But no, Ross don't like my mug. I'm nibbed again. And now it's up the ladder to rest for good. Well, Lizzie Morden's life. And Jew-wise, how'd you get here?
Betrayal. Barbarous falsehood. Intimidation. Injustice.
Speaking English-wise, am I?
I'm innocent. I didn't do it, and I'll keep saying I didn't.
Well, it doesn't matter what you say. If they say you're a thief, you're a thief.
I'm not a thief. I'll go back to England to the snuff shop of Rickett and Loads and say, see, I'm back. I'm innocent.
They won't listen.
You can't live if you think that way. I'm sorry. 7 years and I'll go back.
What do you want to go back to England for? You're not English.
I was born in England. I'm English. What do I have to do to make people believe I'm English?
You have to think English. I hate England, but I think English. And him, Oscar, he's not said anything since they brought him in, but he's thinking English. I can tell.
There's no escape. There's no escape.
See, that's English.
There's no escape, I tell you. You go in circles out there, that's all you do. You go out there and you walk and you walk. You don't reach China. You come back on your steps if the savages don't get you first. Well, even a compass don't work in this foreign upside-down desert. Here, you can read. Why didn't it work? What's it say?
It says north.
Well, why didn't it work then? It was supposed to take us north to China. Why did I end up going in circles?
Because it's not a compass?
Well, I gave my only shilling to a sailor for it. He said it was a compass.
It's a piece of paper with north written on it. He lied. He deceived you. He betrayed you, Oscar.
No.
Madam, gentlemen, fellow players, we've come to visit, to commiserate, to offer our humble services.
Liz, we've come to rehearse the play.
Rehearse the play?
The lieutenant has gone to talk to the governor. Harry said we could come see you. Yeah.
The lieutenant has asked me to stand in his place so we don't lose time. We'll start with the first scene between Melinda and Brazen.
How can I play Captain Brazen in chains?
This is the theatre. We will believe you.
Madam, I have brought you your fan.
I hear you want to stop the play, Lieutenant.
Well, half of my cast is in chains, sir.
Well, that's a difficulty, but it can be overcome. Is that your only reason, Lieutenant?
Well, so many people seem against it, sir.
If you break conventions, it's inevitable. You make enemies, Lieutenant. The play irritates them.
Yes, and I'm not...
Socrates irritated the state of Athens and was put to death for it.
Sir.
In the Meno, one of Plato's great dialogues, have you read it, Lieutenant? Socrates demonstrates that a slave boy can learn the principles of geometry as well as any gentleman. In other words, he shows that human beings have an intelligence which has nothing to do with the circumstances into which they are born.
Sir, sit down, Lieutenant.
It's a matter of reminding the slave of what he knows, of his own intelligence. And by intelligence, you may read goodness, talent, the innate qualities of human beings. You must see your actors in the same light.
I can see some of them, sir, but there are others. John Oscar.
He has been given 200 lashes for trying to escape. It'll take him time for him to see himself as a human being again.
Liz Morden.
I had a reason for asking you to cast her as Melinda. Morden is one of the most difficult women in the colony.
She is indeed, sir.
Lower than a slave, full of loathing, foul mouthed, desperate.
Exactly, sir, and violent.
Quite. To be made an example of.
By hanging?
No, Lieutenant. By redemption.
The Reverend says he's given up on her, sir.
The Reverend's an ass, Lieutenant. I'm speaking of redeeming her humanity.
I'm afraid there may not be much there, sir.
How do we know what humanity lies hidden under the rags and filth of a mangled life? Try a little kindness, Lieutenant.
But will she be hanged, sir?
I don't want a woman hanged. You'll have to help, Ralph.
Sir?
I had retired from His Majesty's service, Ralph. I was farming. I don't know why they asked me to rule over this colony of wretched souls, but I will fulfill my responsibility. No one will stop me.
No, sir, but I don't see
how... I want to rule over responsible human beings, not tyrannize over a group of animals. I want there to be a contract between us, not a whip on my side, terror and hatred on theirs. And you must help me, Ralph.
Yes, sir. The play won't...
Won't change much. But it is the diagram in the sand that may remind, just remind the slave boy. Do you understand?
I think so.
We may fail. I may have a mutiny on my hands. They're trying to convince the Admiralty that I'm mad.
Sir.
And they will threaten you. You don't want to be a second lieutenant all your life?
No, sir.
I cannot go over the head of Major Ross in a matter of promotion.
I see.
But we have embarked, Ralph. We must stay afloat. There is a more serious threat, and it may capsize us all. If a ship does not come within 3 months, the supplies will be exhausted. In a month, I'll cut the rations again. Harry is not well. Can you do something? Good luck with the play, Lieutenant. Oh, and Ralph.
Sir.
A play is a world in itself, a tiny colony, we could almost say. And you're in charge of it. That's a great responsibility.
I will lay down my life if I have to, sir.
I don't think it'll come to that, Lieutenant. You need only do your best.
Yes, sir, I will, sir.
Excellent.
It's a wonderful play, sir. I wasn't sure at first, as you know, but now
good.
I can...
Good. I shall look forward to seeing it. I'm sure it'll be a success.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Here are some of your caterwauling cast, Lieutenant.
The governor said released prisoners.
Unchain Weishammer.
Yep.
Morden stays in chains. She's being tried tomorrow. We don't want her sloping off.
I can't rehearse with one of my players in chains, Major.
Ah, it's difficult.
We'll tell the governor you didn't need her and take her back to prison.
No, we shall manage. We will go from Sylvia's entrance as willful. Where's Ascot?
We haven't finished with Ascot yet, Lieutenant.
Punishment for escape. He fainted. 53 lashes left.
Brenham, are you ready?
Yes.
Weishammer?
Yes.
I'll play Captain Plume.
The wee lieutenant wants to be in the play too. He wants to be promoted to convict. We'll have you in the chain gang soon, Mr. Clark.
Major, we will rehearse now. We wish to rehearse.
And no one's stopping you, Lieutenant.
Major, rehearsals need to take place in the utmost... privacy. Secrecy, you might say. The actors are not yet ready to be seen by the public.
Not ready to be seen?
Major, there is a modesty attached to the process of creation which must be respected.
Modesty? Modesty? Sideway, come here.
Major, Sideway, stay.
Lieutenant, I would not try to countermand the orders of a superior officer.
Obedience, eh? First rule.
Sideway! Take your shirt off. Lashes on the Sirius for answering an officer.
Remember, Sideway.
300 lashes for trying to strike the same officer. I have seen the white of this animal's bones. His wretched blood and reeky convict urine have spilled on my boots, and he's feeling modest. Are you feeling modest, Sideway? Modesty. Bride, here. On all fours. Now wag your tail and bark, and I'll throw you a biscuit. What? You've forgotten? Isn't that how you begged for your foot on the ship? Wag your tail, Bryant. Bark. We'll wait. Brenham. Where's your tattoo, Brenham? Show us. I can't see it. Show us. If you can't manage, I'll help you. I can't see it.
What pleasures I may receive abroad are indeed uncertain, but this I am sure of. I shall meet with less cruelty among the most barbarous nations than I have found at home.
Come, sir, you and I have been jangling a great while. I fancy if we made up our accounts, we should the sooner come to an agreement.
Sure, madam, you won't dispute your being in my debt. My fears, sighs, vows, promises, assiduities, anxieties, jealousies have run on for a whole year without any payment.
Well, that's good. That, sighs, vows, promises, anxieties...
Captain Campbell, start Oscott's punishment.
A year? Mr. Worthy, what you owe to me is not to be paid under a 7 years' servitude. How did you use me the year before? Well, how did you use me the year before?
When taking advantage...
When taking an advantage of my innocence and necessity.
I don't want to do this.
Get on with it, Freeman.
I have to measure you. I'm sorry. Look, you'll have to stand, Liz. Please. I won't hurt you. I mean, now. And if I have the measurements right, I can make it quick. Very quick. Please. She doesn't want to get up, Mr. Brewer. I could come back later.
Hurry up.
I can't. I can't measure her unless she gets up. I have to measure her to judge the drop. If the rope's too short, it won't hang her. And if the rope's too long, it could pull her head off. It's very difficult, Mr. Brewer. I've always done my best. But I've never hung a woman.
You've hung a boy. You've hung a boy.
That was a terrible mess, Mr. Brewer. Don't you remember? It took 20 minutes and even then he wasn't dead. Remember how he danced and everyone laughed?
Measure her, Freeman.
Yes, sir. Look, could you tell her to get up? Because she listened to you.
Get up, you bitch! Get up! Now, measure her.
The lieutenant is talking to the governor again, Liz. Maybe he'll change his mind. At least he might wait until we've done the play. I don't want to do this. I know you're thinking in my place you wouldn't. But somebody will do it if I don't. And I'll be gentle. I won't hurt you. God, it's wrong, Mr. Brewer, it's wrong.
It's wrong. Death is horrible. There's no food left in the colony, and she steals it and gives it to Cable to run away.
That's true, Liz. We shouldn't have stolen that food, especially when the lieutenant trusted us.
I had planned. Are you finished?
I need to lift her. You don't mind, do you, Liz? She's so light. I'll have to use a very long rope. Nobody will laugh at you, Liz. You won't be shamed. I'll make sure of that.
You could hang yourself! Look. Oh, come on, Freeman, let's go.
Goodbye, Liz. You were a very good Melinda. No one will be as good as you.
Mr. Brewer.
You wanted me dead. I didn't. You shouldn't have stolen that food.
Speak to her, please, Mr. Brewer.
What?
tell Lieutenant Clark. I didn't steal the food. Tell him. Afterwards. I want him to know.
Well, why didn't you say that before? Why are you lying now?
Just tell Lieutenant.
Another victim of yours. Another body. I was so frightened. So alone.
Mr. Brewer.
It's dark. There's nothing. Get away. Get away.
Please, tell the Lieutenant.
First fear. Then there's a pain at the back of the neck. Then nothing. I can't see. It's dark. It's dark.
Ghosts in a multitude have spilled from the dream. Who are they? A swarm of ancestors come through unmended cracks in the sky. But why? What do they need? If we can satisfy them, they will go back. How can we satisfy them?
If I ever had thoughts of preserving my life, 'twas for the pleasure of dying at your feet.
Well, well, you shall die at my feet, or where you will. But you know, sir, there is a certain will and testament to be made beforehand. I don't understand why Sylvia asked Plume to make a will.
It's a proof of his love. He wants to provide for her.
A will is a proof of love?
No, she's using will in another sense. He must show his willingness to marry her. Dying's used in another sense, too.
He gives her his will to indicate that he intends to take care of her.
That's right, Lieutenant. Marriage is nothing, but will you look after her?
Plume's too ambitious to marry Sylvia.
If I'd been Sylvia, I would have trusted Plume.
When dealing with men, always have a contract.
Love is a contract.
Love is a barter of perishable goods. A man's word for a woman's body.
Gabby's right. If a man loves a woman, he should marry her.
Well, sometimes he can't.
Then she should look for someone who can.
A woman should look after her own interests, that's all.
Her interest is to love.
A girl will love the first man who knows how to open her legs. She's called a whore and ends up here. God, I could write scenes, Lieutenant. Women with real lives, not these Shrewsbury prudes.
I've written something. The prologue of this play won't make any sense to the convicts. In ancient times, when Helen's fatal charms and so on. I've written another one. We look at it, Lieutenant. You mustn't trust the wrong people, Mary. We could make a new life together. Here, I'd marry you. Mary, think about it. You'd live with me in a house. He'll have to put you in a hut at the bottom of his garden and call you his servant in public. That is, his whore. Don't do it, Mary.
Lieutenant, are we rehearsing or not? Arscott and I have been waiting for hours.
It seems interesting. I'll read it more carefully later.
You don't like it?
No, I do like it. Perhaps it needs a little more work.
It would mean more to the convicts.
We'll talk about it another time.
Do you like the last two lines? Mary helped me with them.
Oh.
The first lines took us days, didn't they, Mary?
We'll rehearse Sylvia's entrance as Jack Wilful. No, you're in the scene, Weishammer. We will come to your scenes in a minute, Bryant.
Yeah.
Now, Brenham, remember what I showed you yesterday about walking like a gentleman?
Yeah.
I've ordered breeches to be made for you. You can practice in them tomorrow.
I'll tuck my skirt in. save ye, gentlemen.
My dear, I'm yours.
Oh. It doesn't say Sylvia's kissed in the stage directions.
Plume kisses her later, and there's a line about men kissing in the army. I thought Brazen would kiss her immediately.
It's completely wrong.
It's right for the character of Brazen.
No, it isn't. I'm the director, Weishammer.
Yeah, but I have to play the part. They're equal in this scene. They're both captains, and in the end, they fight for her. Who's playing Plume in our performance?
Well, I will have to, as Cable hasn't come back. Let's move on to Kite's entrance. Arscott has been waiting too long.
Sir, if you please.
What about me? I haven't done anything either. You always rehearse the scenes with Sylvia.
Well, let's rehearse the scene where Rose comes on with her brother Bullock. It's a better scene for you, Arscott. Do you know it?
Yes.
Good. Weishammer, you will have to play the part of Bullock.
What? Play two parts? Well,
Major Ross won't let any more prisoners off work. Some of you will have to play several parts.
It'll confuse the audience. They'll think Brazen's Bullock and Bullock Brazen.
Nonsense. If the audience is paying attention, they'll know that Bullock is a country boy and Brazen a captain.
What if they aren't paying attention?
Well, people who can't pay attention should not go to the theatre.
If you act well, they will have to pay attention.
It'll ruin my entrance as Captain Brazen.
We have no choice, and we must turn this necessity into an advantage. You will play two very different characters and display the full range of your abilities. But let's start the scene, Bryant.
Oh, I think the recruiting officer is a silly play. Oh. I want to be in a play that has more interesting people in it.
I like playing Sylvia. What? She's bold. She breaks rules out of love for her captain, and she's not ashamed.
Well, she hasn't been born poor. She hasn't had to survive. And her father's a justice of the peace. I want to play myself.
Yeah, well, I don't want to play myself. When I say Kite's lines, I forget everything else. I forget the judge said I'm going to have to spend the rest of my natural life in this place getting beaten, working like a slave. I don't have to remember the things I've done. When I speak Kite's lines, I don't hate anymore. I'm Kite. I'm in Shrewsbury. Can we get on with the scene, Lieutenant, and stop talking?
I want to see a play that shows life as we know it.
A play should make you understand something new. If it tells you what you already know, you leave it as ignorant as you went in.
Why can't we do a play about now?
It doesn't matter when a play's set. It's better if it's set in the past. It's clearer. It's easier to understand Plume and Brazen than some of the officers we know here.
Oscott, would you start the scene?
Captain, sir, look yonder. They're coming this way. 'Tis the prettiest, cleanest little tit.
Well, now, Worthy, he's in this scene. Where's Sideway?
He's so upset about Liz, he won't rehearse.
I am going to talk to the governor, but he has to rehearse. We must do the play, whatever happens. We've been rehearsing for 5 months. I can't do the scene without Sideway. Let's do another scene.
Oh.
Well, Oscott, let's work on your big speeches. I haven't heard them yet.
Well, I'll do the first speech anyway, sir. Yes, sir, I understand my business. I will say it. But you must know, sir, I was born a gypsy and bred among that crew until I was 10 years old. There I learned canting and lying.
Paige. That's my story. Why do I have to play a silly milkmaid? Why can't I play Kite?
You can't play a man, Debbie.
God, if Wisehammer can think he's a big country lad, I can think I'm a man. But people will use their imagination. And people with no imagination shouldn't go to the theatre. I want to play Kite.
Well, you can't play Kite. I'm playing Kite. You can't steal my part.
You may have to play Melinda.
Oh, all she does is marry Sideway. That's not interesting.
Sorry I'm late, Lieutenant. But I know all my lines.
We'll rehearse the first scene between Justice Balance and Sylvia. No. Brenham.
No, I never do anything.
Oh. Whilst there is life, there is hope, sir. Perhaps my brother may recover.
We have but little reason to expect
it. I can't. Not with him. Not with Liz. I can't.
Well, one has to transcend personal feelings in the theatre.
Mary?
Mary? Oh, we're not making much progress today. Let's end this rehearsal.
What?
Harry, if you live, I will never again punish you with my silence. If you live, I will never again turn away from you. If you live, I will never again imagine another man when you make love to me. If you live, I will never tell you I want to leave you. If you live, I will speak to you. If you live, I will be tender with you. If you live, I will look after you. If you live, I will stay with you. If you live, I will be wet and open to your touch. If you live, I will love you. If you die, I will never forgive you. I hate you. No, I love you. Oh, how could you do this, Harry?
Oh.
And something tells me that if you do discharge me, it will be the greatest punishment you can inflict. For were we this moment to go upon the greatest dangers in your profession, there would be less terrible to me than to stay behind you. And now your hand. This lists me. And now you are my captain.
Your friend. Is death the something in this fellow that charms me?
One favour I must beg. This affair will make some noise.
Sylvia.
I must therefore take care to be impressed by the Act of Parliament.
What you please as to that. Will you lodge at my quarters in the meantime? You shall have part of my bed. Sylvia. Mary.
Am I doing it well? It's difficult to play a man. A man doesn't bow his head so much and never at an angle. I must face you without lowering my head. Let's try it again.
What you please as to that. Will you lodge at my quarters in the meantime? You shall have part of my bed. Mary. Will you?
Yes.
Don't lower your head. Sylvia wouldn't. I've never looked at the body of a woman before.
Your wife?
It wasn't right to look at her. Let me see you.
Yes. Let me see you.
Yes.
Morden refused to defend herself at the trial. She didn't say a word. This was taken as an admission of guilt, and she was condemned to be hanged. The evidence against her, however, is flimsy.
She was seen with Cable next to the food stores. That is a fingering fact.
She was seen by a drunken soldier in the dark. He admitted he was drunk and that he saw her at a distance. He knew Cable was supposed to be repairing the door, and she's known to be friends with Cable and Ascot. She won't speak. She won't say where she was. That is our difficulty.
She won't speak because she's guilty.
Silence has many causes, Robbie.
She won't speak, Your Excellency, because of the convict code of honour. She doesn't want to beg for her life.
Convict code of honour? This pluming play's muddled the Muffy Lieutenant's mind.
My only fear, Your Excellency, is that she may have refused to speak because she no longer believes in the process of justice. If that is so, the courts here will become travesties. I do not want that.
But if she won't speak, there is nothing more we can do. You cannot get at the truth through silence.
She spoke to Harry Brewer.
But Harry never regained consciousness before he died.
James Freeman was there and told me what she said.
Why wasn't this used in the trial?
Freeman's evidence wasn't very clear. And as Liz Morden wouldn't confirm what he said, it was dismissed.
You can't take the word of a crooked, crawling hangman.
Why would she speak?
Because she's guilty.
Robbie, we may be about to hang the first woman in this colony. I do not want to hang the first innocent woman.
We must get at the truth.
Truth! We have 800 thieves, perjurers, forgers, murderers, liars, escapers, rapists, whores, coiners in this scrub-ridden, dust-driven, thunderbolted, savage-run, cretinous colony. Not a ship shifting into sight. The prisoners running away, stealing, drinking. And the wee ductile lieutenant talks about the truth.
Truth is indeed a luxury, but its absence brings about the most abject poverty in a civilization. That is the paradox.
This is a profligate prison for us all. It's a hellish hole we soldiers have been hauled to because they blame us for losing the war in America. This is a hateful, hairy, scary, topsy-turvy outpost. This is not a civilization. I hate this possumy place.
Perhaps we could return to the question of Morden. Captain Campbell.
Mr. Morden.
Morden, if you don't speak, we will have to hang you. If you can defend yourself, His Excellency can overrule the court. Did you steal that food with the escaped prisoner, Cable?
You
She wasn't...
It is the accused who must answer.
Liz Morden, you must speak the truth. We will listen to you.
Morden, no one will despise you for telling the truth.
That is not so, Lieutenant. Tell the truth and accept the contempt. That is the history of great men, Liz. You may be despised, but you will have shown courage.
If that soldier has lied...
There! There! He's accusing my soldiers of lying. It's that play. It makes fun of officers. It shows an officer lying and cheating. It shows a corrupt justice as well, Collins.
Good scene, that. Very funny. If he be so good at gunning, he shall have enough. He may be of use against the French, for he shoots flying. That's good. And then there's this...
Campbell!
The play seems to be having miraculous effects already. Don't you want to be in the play, Liz?
Morden, you must speak.
For the good of the colony.
And of the play.
I didn't steal the food.
Were you there when Cable stole it?
No. I was there before.
And you knew he was going to steal it?
Yes.
Guilty. She didn't report it.
Failure to inform is not a hangable offence.
Conspiracy.
We may need a retrial.
Why wouldn't you say any of this before?
Because it wouldn't have mattered.
Speaking the truth.
Speaking.
You are taking the word of a convict against the word of a soldier.
A soldier who was drunk and uncertain of what he saw.
A soldier is a soldier and has a right to respect. You will have a revolt in your hands, Governor.
I'm sure I will. But let us see the play first. Liz, I hope you're good in your part.
She will be, Your Excellency. I promise that.
Your Excellency! I will endeavour to speak Mr. Farquhar's lines with the elegance and clarity their own worth commands.
Look, oozing pustules on my skin. Hate on my forehead. Perhaps we have been wrong all this time. And this is not a dream. At all.
Are the savages coming to see the play as well?
Oh, they come around the camp because they're dying. Smallpox.
Oh.
I hope they won't upset the audience.
Everyone's here. All the officers too.
Dabby could take your part.
No. I will do it. I will remember the lines.
I brought you an orange from Lieutenant Clark's.
Oh.
They've thrown her out of Harry Brewer's tent.
Why?
He wouldn't have wanted that.
Major Ross said a whore was a whore. And I was to go into the women's camp. They've taken all of Harry's things.
I'll talk to the lieutenant. Let's go over your lines. And if you forget them, touch my foot. I'll whisper them to you.
We haven't rehearsed the bow. Gerrick used to take his as this way. You look up to the circle. To the sides. Down. Make sure everyone thinks you're looking at them. Get the line.
Okay.
Dabby, right, no, you should be next to Mary.
I won't take the bag.
It's not the biggest part, Dabby, but you'll be noticed.
I don't want to be noticed.
Look, let's get this right. If we don't all do the same thing, it will look a mess. Circle.
Circle.
Ready? The sides. And down.
Hooray. Hooray. Hooray.
No, they'll be shouting, bravo! But look, we're not in a line yet.
I wasn't looking at the bow. I saw the whole play. And we all knew our lines and... Oh, Mary, you looked so beautiful. And after that, I saw Devon and they were shouting, bravo! Bravo, Dabby! Hooray, you've escaped! You've sailed thousands and thousands of miles on the open sea and you've come back to your Devon! Bravo, Dabby! Bravo!
When are you doing this, Dabby?
Tonight. You can't. I'll be in the play till the end, then in the confusion when it's over, we can slip away. The tide is up. The night will be dark. Everything's ready.
The lieutenant will be blamed. I won't let you...
If you say anything to the lieutenant, I'll refuse to act in the play.
Yeah, but when I say my lines, I think of nothing else. Why can't you do the same?
Because it's only for one night. I want to grow old in Devon.
They'll never let us do another play. I'm telling the lieutenant.
No, Mary.
Please!
want to go back to Devon.
I don't want to go back to England, though. It's too small and they don't like Jews. Here, no one has more of a right than anyone else to call you a foreigner. I want to become the first famous writer.
I'm going to start a theatre company. Oh. Who wants to be in it?
I'll be in your company, Mr. Sideway.
Yeah, so will I. I'll play all the parts that have dignity and gravity.
I'll hold auditions tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Oh, where are my shoes?
Oh, Mary, they were over there.
Oscar, remember to address the soldiers when you talk of recruiting. Look at them. You are speaking to them. And don't forget, all of you, to leave a space for people to laugh.
I'll kill anyone who laughs at me.
They're not laughing at you. They're laughing at Farker's lines. You must expect them to laugh.
Well, that's all right. But if I see Major Ross or any other officer laughing at me, I'll kill him.
Yeah. How beautiful you look.
Oh, I dreamt I had a necklace of pearls and three children.
If we have a boy, we'll call him Harry.
And if we have a girl?
She will be called Betsy Alicia.
Liz, I couldn't have hanged you.
No?
Here.
What's that?
Salt, for good luck.
Oh. Where did you get that from?
I've been saving it from my rations. Look, I've saved enough for each of us to have some.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, me. All right. Two, three.
Lieutenant.
Yes, Whitehammer?
There's...
Oh, there's his prologue. Oh,
yeah. The prologue, I forgot. Let me hear it again.
From distant climes, a widespread seas we come, though not with much éclat or beat of drum. True patriots all, for be it understood, we left our country for our country's good. No private views disgraced our generous zeal. What urged our travels was our country's weal. And none will doubt but that our emigration has proved most useful to the British nation.
When Major Ross hears that, he'll have an apoplectic fit.
Oh, I think it's very good.
So do I, and true.
But not theatrical.
It is very good, Weishammer. It's very well written. But it's too political. It will be considered provocative.
I could tone it down. I could admit we left our country for our country's good.
That's the best line.
It would be wrong to cut it.
I worked so hard on it.
It rhymes.
We'll use it in the Sideway Theatre.
You will get much praise as Brazen Weishammer.
It isn't the same as writing.
The theatre is like a small republic. It requires private sacrifices for the good of the whole. Now, that is something you should agree with, Weishammer. And now, my fellow actors, I want to say what a pleasure it has been to work with you. You're on your own tonight, and you must do your utmost to provide the large audience out there with a pleasurable, intelligible and memorable evening.
We will do our best, Mr. Clark.
I love this.
Ask it, you're on.
The helmet, where's the helmet?
Oh, Bud!
Oscar, here! Oh.
If any gentlemen, soldiers or others, have a mind to serve Her Majesty and put down the French King, if any apprentices have severe masters, any children have undutiful parents, if any servants have too little wages, or any husband, too much wife, then let them repair to the noble Sergeant Kite at the sign of the Raven in this good town of Shrove. They shall receive present relief.
In Our Country's Good, Captain Arthur Phillip was played by Nicholas Leprevo, Major Robbie Ross by Stuart Macquarie, Captain David Collins by Paul Moriarty, Captain Watkin Tench by Adam Billington, Captain Campbell by James Lely, and Second Lieutenant Ralph Clark by Paul Higgins. The Reverend Johnson was played by Simon Bubb, Midshipman Harry Brewer, Ricky Lawton, Mary Brennan, Francine Chamberlain, Robert Sideway, Adam James, John Weishammer, Elliot Levy, Liz Morden, Kate Fleetwood, Dabby Bryant, Alex Tregear, John Oscott, Ralph Ineson, Ketch Freeman,
Jonathan Forbes, and Duckling Smith, Adjoa Ando. Our Country's Good was written by Timberlake Wurtenbaker and adapted from Thomas Keneally's novel The Playmaker. The director was Sally Avens. Weekend Woman's Hour is after the news when we take a step inside the Strictly Come Dancing wardrobe in a couple of minutes.